So this week, I expose kind of an odd topic. I'm going to talk about transformational healing. And by transformational healing, I mean, what is the healing that allows us to get past being stuck? The feeling of being stuck anywhere in life. Which, of course, is a very human feeling. And it is possible to really get beyond being stuck. It is really possible in many ways, as it were, to rewrite the script of our life. And it requires healing. It requires doing the hard work of healing. And I suppose I'll say at the outset that healing doesn't always require hard work. There are certainly cases, and probably we all have experienced them at a small scale, where there's relatively easy, spontaneous healing, where healing comes relatively painlessly, relatively easily. Sometimes that happens, you know. And certainly it's important to welcome that when it does happen. But more often than not, especially when we're stuck, and we've been feeling stuck for a while, that's usually a sign that the healing is not coming spontaneously, that we actually have to do some work to bring it about. And I think I'll say also, it's important for each one of us to be aware of, you might say, the channels by which healing comes into our life. For some people, being in nature is such a healing thing. For other people, doing physical exercise is just so important. For others, dance or creating art or looking at art or poetry or music, you know, and different people are different. For some people, music is like the best thing in the world. For other people, music, well, it's a nice thing in the background, but it doesn't make a difference to me. You know, in other words, everyone's different. But notice what it is. For many people, having deep, intimate connections with others is very healing, whether it's friendships, romantic relationships, relationships with mentors. And so just be aware of the areas in your life where you experience healing, the people in your life who bring healing into your life, the situations that bring healing. It's always good to be aware of those, and as much as possible to try just to invite more of that into our lives. So I'll say that when we're stuck, when we're feeling stuck, it's very easy to get down on ourselves, and it's very easy to get frustrated, and it's very easy to say, you know, I wish I weren't stuck, and why can't I get over this stupid thing, and blah, blah, blah. And that kind of negativity does not actually support healing. It doesn't actually support change. And what most supports change, believe it or not, is acceptance. And so really, a great deal of healing just starts from a place of complete acceptance. We have to accept everything as it is. And the paradox is, by totally accepting everything as it is, we're laying the groundwork to actually change what is, you know? And so it's one of these paradoxes that the head doesn't necessarily get. Another really important part of deep healing is self-responsibility. And this is a hard one. I think of America as a country where people tend to have very poor boundaries. I think we actually have a national history of having very poor boundaries. I think it's one of the reasons that we're so fascinated with the external boundaries of our country, because we're having so much trouble looking at our internal boundaries, you know. And there's all kinds of ways that it's easy to give our power away. any kind of blame scenarios, any kind of victim scenarios, you know, that person did something and made me this way. You know, that person's the problem. That person is blocking me. This external situation is blocking me. Anything like that, where we're saying that we're assigning agency for our internal state to someone or something outside of ourselves, we're giving our power away. And so a deep place of self-responsibility is a place where I'm acknowledging I'm 100% responsible for what I feel. I'm 100% responsible for my experience of the world. I may not be happy with my experience of the world, but I'm 100% responsible for it. And it's an uncomfortable place to be because it's, you know, it's convenient if I can blame other people. You know, it's, you know, then I'm kind of off the hook if I can blame other people or blame situations or that sort of thing. But we need to actually be in possession of all our power, all our agency to affect healing. Now, the head is not an ally in healing. The strategic mind likes to think that it's independent, and it's not. The strategic mind is actually a blithering servant in the face of internal pain. And rather than feel the internal pain, the head will just spin thousands of stories, thousands of tales, you know, internal drama. And in fact, if you notice that your thoughts are returning again and again to some kind of drama, probably there's something to feel there, you know? The head also likes to have this story that the head likes to be done with things. It likes to go very quickly to the been there, done that kind of place, you know? And especially if we've done a little bit of work already, suppose, you know, say 10 years ago you were in therapy and dealt a little with an issue, you know, when it comes up again, the head wants to immediately go to the place of, well, I've already dealt with that. I should be done with that, you know? And healing is not about that. Healing is always about there's layers and layers. There's this great quote from David White, the poet. He was talking about the Beowulf myth, the ancient Anglo-Saxon myth. And he kind of summarizing the story about, you know, this monster came out of the swamp and was destroying the kingdom. And Beowulf shows up, the hero, and he's going to slay the monster. So he says, after a titanic battle, Beowulf wounds Grendel, and Grendel staggers back to the swamp to die. Celebration, marvelous, half Hrothgar's kingdom to Beowulf, rings, gold, dancing, mead flowing over. The next night, something else comes out of the swamp. Fights off Hrothgar's best men, drags young and women back to the swamp, leaving trails of blood behind. Grendel's mother. The story says, it's not the thing you fear. It's the mother of the thing you fear. You know? And head always thinks it knows what the problem is. Head probably knows the tiny little tip of the iceberg. And once we get into it, then we get into the real stuff. You know? A lot of healing is just about having the courage to feel, the courage to be vulnerable, deeply vulnerable, and to feel. And really, I like to say that every critical voice, every nagging voice, every painful feeling within us is really a wounded child within us that needs love and support, you know? And often it's just about extending that complete acceptance, almost this like over-generous compassion and acceptance to these wounded places within us. And we really have to have kind of the wise balance that a parent has. Now, some of you have been parents, and you know that if, say, a parent of a three-year-old having a temper tantrum, if you've ever seen a three-year-old have a temper tantrum, you know they say the most wild things. They get unhinged. They say, you know, I hate mommy. I hate daddy. I want to run away and never come back. They say all kinds of crazy things. The wise parent pretty much ignores the verbal content of whatever the kid is saying and attends to their real need. And we have to be exactly the same way with pain, because it's going to spin out all this drama into our head about, you know, everyone's going to hate me and I'm going to die drunk in the gutter with no friends and blah, 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 you know, whatever the story is. And we have to more or less ignore the verbal content and simply feel what's really there. Feel and accept what's really there, which requires tremendous vulnerability. I often say that the work of healing is about loving the places in us that feel unlovable, accepting the places in us that feel unacceptable, and forgiving the places in us that feel unforgivable. And it's funny, because to engage in healing, to engage in healing, we have to move toward the places in us that are in pain. And it's not the human thing to do. In other words, the human thing is to want to move away. And in fact, everything the head wants to do, wants to just generate distraction and what can I find on Twitter and what's the next video I can watch and blah, blah, blah. It wants to just spin us off into just distraction so we don't have to feel what's present. And I want to be very careful about moving toward pain, because of course there are some people that have come from experiences of being overwhelmed with pain, and they fought for years just to get beyond being overwhelmed with pain. So moving toward pain doesn't mean going back to being overwhelmed with pain. Being overwhelmed with pain is often about being stuck in the drama, stuck in the loops of the head. Moving toward pain means moving toward it with mindful acceptance. And again, discounting any of the verbal information that pain might be presenting, discounting any of the story that it might be presenting, and just feeling into the feeling, feeling deeply into the feeling. And often when we just feel what needs to be felt, no matter how painful or uncomfortable it is, we actually discharge that energy. And it's a paradox, because the typical human behavior, in many ways, it's kind of a bad investment. You know, imagine financially, you could pay $100 now, or you could pay $10 a week for the rest of your life. Like, what would be the wiser investment, you know? But by not feeling the original, not allowing ourselves to just experience that original pain, we feel the discomfort, the continual discomfort of avoiding that pain every day of our life, you know? And so it's almost this crazy thing of just, if we're more direct in just experiencing that and healing it, we actually can clear it, as opposed to bearing it, and then it's just a problem for us over and over and over again. You know, we humans are very, very funny, the choices we make. The work of healing is difficult. It's difficult to feel those places. It's difficult to hold space for ourselves. Never feel that you have to do all the work of healing on your own. You know, find friends that you can trust. You know, from some parts of the healing journey, you may need the help of a therapist, a counselor, an energy healer, a life coach. If you can find some kind of healing circle with whom you can work, you know, find the support that you need. Find the tribe that will support you in doing the healing work that you need to do. So I'm going to read another quote. This is from the Greek playwright Aeschylus. And in many ways, this sums up a lot of the healing process in my mind. He who learns must suffer. And even in our sleep, pain that cannot forget falls drop by drop upon the heart. And in our own despair, against our will, comes wisdom to us by the awful grace of God. I'll tell you something about that quote that is a famous quote in some ways. On April 4th, 1968, Robert Kennedy was running for president, and he was scheduled that night to speak in Indianapolis. He got on the plane that afternoon, and he got news. One of his aides approached him with news: Dr. Martin Luther King has been shot this morning. And they didn't know how it turned out. And then by the time he landed, he got the news: Dr. King had died. And he was scheduled to go to a mostly black neighborhood. And all his aides were saying, don't go, don't go, don't go. But he went. And he actually spoke to them that night. He actually quoted this quote from memory. He was a very educated man. And he spoke very poignantly. It was really the only time publicly that he acknowledged the grief that he felt from his own brother's death, from the death of JFK. It's the only time he ever acknowledged it in public and really made that crowd feel how much he was grieving the loss of King. And it had a profound effect on the crowd that was gathered there. Indianapolis was the only major American city that did not have race riots that night. And it was largely because of RFK's speech. And sadly, 3 months later, he was shot to death. But that's the history, some of the more modern history associated with that quote. So I'm a high school teacher, so I always have handouts here. So I'll pass out the quote sheet. I have the David White quote and the Aeschylus quote. From Julius Caesar, it is easier to find men who will volunteer to die than to find those who are willing to endure pain with patience. From the poet Publius Ovidius Naso, known as Ovid, who wrote a lot of love poems: be patient and tough. Someday this pain will be useful to you. From Thomas Paine, one of our founding fathers: the real man smiles in trouble, gathers strength from distress, and grows brave by reflection. A great one from Ralph Waldo Emerson: he who is not every day conquering some fear has not learned the secret of life. And from Emerson's buddy, Henry David Thoreau: if we will be quiet and ready enough, we shall find compensation in every disappointment. The remarkably brilliant scientist Marie Curie says, nothing in life is to be feared, it is only to be understood. Now is the time to understand more, so that we may fear less. Robert Service says, be master of your petty annoyances and conserve your energy for the big worthwhile things. It isn't the mountain ahead that wears you out. It's the grain of sand in your shoe. So true. Khalil Gibran, one of the most well-published people of all time, says, out of suffering have emerged the strongest souls. The most massive characters are seared with scars. Eleanor Roosevelt, that extraordinary woman, said, you gain strength courage and confidence by every experience in which you really stop to look at fear in the face. You are able to say to yourself, I've lived through this horror. I can take the next thing that comes along. You must do the thing that you think you cannot do. Luis Ferdinand Celine says, when you stay too long in the same place, things and people go to pot at you. They rot and start stinking for your special benefit. Jim Rohn says, we all must suffer from one of two pains, the pain of discipline or the pain of regret. The difference is discipline weighs ounces, while regret weighs tons. The Dalai Lama says, there is a saying in Tibetan, tragedy should be utilized as a source of strength. No matter what sort of difficulty, how painful the experience is, if we lose hope, that's our real disaster. Bob Dylan tells us, behind every beautiful thing, there's been some kind of pain. And I don't know if that's true of every beautiful thing, but it certainly is true that a lot of artwork has been produced by artists who have had painful lives. You know, even a flower, you know, there's the seed has to break open in the soil, you know. And so many times something beautiful does result from pain. Bob Marley says, you never know how strong you are until being strong is your only choice. The athlete who formerly was known as Bruce Jenner and is now known as Caitlyn Jenner tells us, you will face obstacles. Don't let them scare you. Fear is part of the game. Trying things outside of your comfort zone is essential because your ability to grow as a person is directly related to the amount of insecurity you can handle. So be strong and fearless on this journey we call life. Iyana Vazant says, when you have something to do, life will not allow you to move forward until you do it. And so there's a lot about being stuck right there. If you're stuck, what's the one thing that you have to do, which is probably the one thing you're most afraid of doing, you know? Oprah Winfrey says, turn your wounds into wisdom. Tony Robbins says, change happens when the pain of staying the same is greater than the pain of change. A couple from Neil Strauss, who's written, among other things, about pickup arts, he tells us, great things never came from comfort zones. I like that. And also, people go through so much pain trying to avoid pain. Shannon Adler says, fear is the glue that keeps you stuck. Faith is the solvent that sets you free. Michael Barbarulo says, God has given you the power and desire to change, but you need to be willing to do the work. Doing the work means facing your fears and getting out of your comfort zone. Charlotte Erickson simply says, fear is the thing that makes the heart grow. Kilroy J. Oldster says, facing the fear of rejection and humiliation is critical for self-growth, and no one is ever happy or content until they venture outside themselves to learn what dwells in other people's hearts. Naveel Ravikant says, most of the gains in life come from suffering in the short term so you can get paid in the long term. And I'm not even sure how to pronounce Debasis Ritra says, don't feel criticism, feel fear, stagnation.